The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Mark Ingram is nice enough to join us every single week here for the UAB Director's Chair. He is the director. He's the athletic director right here. And, of course, if you listened to our show last week, we got into this whole NIL transfer portal stuff. You're like, what's new? Well, the government's now involved in it. We went piece by piece. You want to go back and listen to that episode, please do so and just search Tony Curry Radio Podcast. That's Curry with a K, K-U-R-R-E, or TKR Podcast works too. And we're available on every major industry. Go back and listen to that podcast and listen to, well, I think we're on our 52nd show or something like that. Isn't it crazy we've done that many shows already?
How about that?
That's amazing. And you brought a very interesting aspect to the show several months ago. You wanted to start talking about some rock and roll. Last week we talked
about it. I did?
Yes, you did. You're the one.
Okay.
You don't remember that?
You're crediting me with that?
I was in the middle of a question asking you about UABSports.com, and you're like, hey, Tone, can we please talk some classic rock here? And we started talking classic rock. And next thing you know, we're doing our best guitar solos, our best cover songs. So, yes, you get credit for that. And I got to give you credit because you know how much I love talking classic rock and roll. And for people who don't know, if you go down to Protective Stadium here in just about a month and watch UAB taking on North Carolina A&T, you're going to hear all these songs on both sides of the ball. Mark picks the majority of the songs, man, and he doesn't want to be known for the ones you don't like. But
That was somebody else.
You have quite the repertoire of music in your little brain, and I love the fact. And so I feel very comfortable talking rock and roll. So we'll get into some more rock and roll stuff coming up next week, including our four top rock and roll movies. That should be really interesting. There's one particular movie that comes right to mind that every disc jockey was told, you must watch this movie if you're going to be a disc jockey. You know what movie I'm talking about?
Have a strong sense.
Clint Eastwood was in this movie. It's called Play Misty for Me.
That is not what I was thinking of.
Or This is Spinal Tap, one of those two. But
thought you were going to say Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It could be. Yeah, that could be. We got some time to think about that. We'll do that on our next show. But you want to go see a real campy, scary movie, and you got radio in your family, man. I know your whole radio family, man. You should go watch Play Misty for Me. It came out, I think, in the early 70s with Clint Eastwood. I believe it was Clint Eastwood's first movie, and I believe he actually directed the movie. But it's about this gal named Evelyn Draper who continually calls the radio station every night and says, "Would you please play this song for me?" And of course, he kind of blows it off. And one night he plays the song for her. One thing leads to another. You know what happens with the late night disc jockey? He goes out and meets his fan, and they end up hooking up, and then she stalks him to death. Literally. It's a fantastic movie. Play Misty for me. Check it out. All right. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got a couple of interesting emails I want to get into. Dave in Southside. Point blank, he says, ask Mark, what's the most important sports in college? And that's all he wrote. So I don't know if he means the most important from a monetary standpoint, from a branding standpoint. I know you got to be careful because you're the athletic director. We're all going to know that college football is the most important thing for any university. And then probably college basketball is second or a close second. But after that, and this is not, you're not saying one's better than the other or one that I don't want to, but when you're talking about branding for this school, is soccer number three? How does it fall out?
Yeah. You know, important is a funny word, because
they're all important.
If you're a student athlete, whatever sport you play is the most important sport to you. Right. And if you're talking about finances are bigger in football than anything else. And there's really not a close second. If you're just looking at television ratings, if you're judging it based on that, the NFL is the most popular sport in our country and college football is second. So college football is above, Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL. Mm-hmm. It's that big. So men's basketball would be next on that list. And then most likely women's basketball, though, just to be completely transparent, I can't recall the last time I looked at all the ratings data, because when you get to you know, when you get to the postseason, women's basketball's tournament is really big, and it's continued to get bigger. But the College World Series is big, and now the softball World Series is getting a lot more attention too. So they're, you know, these in, probably in that order, you know, and it's going to be different for UConn. Like UConn women's basketball is going to rank ahead of a lot of other people's women's basketball, right?
Yeah.
Tennessee's women's basketball, some of these traditional programs that have had great, great success might be different in this. So to choose
maybe third, like Alabama's women gymnastics. I mean, you could certainly make an
argument.
That's a great point.
Okay. Yes. Good.
Yeah.
So there's certain places that just really excel at certain things. So yeah, you're looking at baseball, softball, gymnastics, these sort of, depending on where you are, generally are next in line after football and the two basketballs in terms of revenue. But the revenue we all derive from college football is, I mean, when you see like different conferences doing their media rights, probably 90 to 95% of that decision is based on football.
Yeah.
And people cannot like that, but that's just what it is. It's not that you're saying it's more valuable or more important. That's what the viewing audience dictates. And that's why the decision is done that way.
Let me ask you this from a budget standpoint. I think it's interesting because a lot of people look at when UAB lost its archery, its bowling, and its football team years ago. And it's nice to say years ago. It wasn't last year.
Rifle.
2 years ago. It was years ago now. A lot of people were making the argument that UAB is one of the best, biggest medical institutions in the world. They make billions and billions and billions of dollars. Why can't they take some of that money and ensure that we can have football and archery and bowling? And I'm like, you can't do that. You're moving one budget to another. They're all under the same umbrella, but you don't take money from one side and put it on the other. When you're talking about college athletics, how does that work? Does every individual sport have its own individual budget and it just lays out that way? Or how is that money shared?
Yeah, everybody has their own individual budget, but a lot of our sports, and this isn't a UAB conversation, it's a everybody conversation. A lot of our sports generate no revenue.
Yeah.
And so our model is so different than in college. You know, when people talk about, you know, let's take the NFL, if there's, you know, $210 million made from a football team, and that means 130 or 160 of that would be shared through the bargaining agreement with the players. We should do that in college. Well, the Buffalo Bills don't have a tennis team, and they don't have a golf team or a track team, but we do. And so, you know, when you say it should be shared, it is shared. So we take all of our revenues, we pull them all together, and then we distribute that back, not evenly, but amongst the teams based on their need. So the bowling team's roster is not as big as the football team's roster, so their budgets aren't identical because they're not the same, and their travel is different. You know, bowling, for example, they just bowl in tournaments, and I don't mean just like it's small. What I'm saying is they don't have to, the way baseball does, go play all these individual games all season. They bowl, you know, these large tournaments come together and they bowl. So their travel needs are very different than baseball. Baseball and men's and women's golf probably have the worst, and softball, they have the worst travel of anybody. So you have to accommodate their travel schedule and fit their budget around their travel schedule, not just about how much money do they generate. If it was just about how much they generate, you couldn't have any of these sports, you know, or more than probably one, two tops. So, you know, that's the biggest difference when we go to all this legislation that's being discussed and, you know, student athletes becoming employees and, you know, revenue sharing. Man, it's not realistic. Not if we intend to maintain that we all have to have a certain number of sports. We've all got to have at least 8 women's and 6 men's sports to be Division I. Now that adds up to 14, even with my simple math, that adds up to 14. But in order to then separately maintain the balance required by Title IX, we generally, everybody has 16 or more sports to get, you know, our participation numbers where they need to be to also obey Title IX. So you've got an NCAA rule that says you got to have at least 14 to be Division One. Then you have a law, which is an educational amendment to the Civil Rights Act, that is Title IX. These two things are not together. They are separate and created separately by two separate entities, two different governing bodies. We, the athletics department, it doesn't matter what school we're talking about, we are obeying two different sets of rules here. One is a federal law. One is an NCAA rule, which we participate as a voluntary member in the NCAA because we want to be a part of the championship. Yeah. So you're trying to balance these two things together, and introducing this rev sharing concept is madness, but we'll see what happens.
And this is the UAB director's chair. You can hear it 5 days a week, 11 o'clock Central Time on the TKR app, 11 o'clock right before lunch every Monday through Friday. Check it out. And, of course, we also do fresh shows every single week, so you never have old content. Wherever you get your podcast, you go back and listen to well over 50 episodes we've done with Mark Ingram. We really appreciate and are grateful to have him on every single week. And great emails, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. No less than 9 emails about Bartow Arena. I'm going to pick one here from Michael. He said he went down to protect the stadium for the first time this past year. Loved the new stadium. Loves being that stadium instead of Legion Field. Nothing against Legion Field. The old gray lady still stands. But said, what kind of upgrades are going to be made to Bartow Arena soon? I know that we spoke several months ago and you had talked about maybe getting things rolling in that particular situation. Where do we stand with Bartow Arena and expansion or maybe doing some upgrades on it?
Yeah, well, first of all, Michael, thank you for going, and I hope you'll come back. The Protective Stadium, it is fantastic. And what Protective Stadium does is it shows it's a modernization of how fans watch sports. Mm-hmm. I think I've said this on the show before, Tony. If not, I'll say it fast. You know, when you and I were kids and we would go to a game with our parents, we would – at least with my dad, we walked in the gate, we went straight to the restroom, and then we went straight to the concession stand, and then we went to our seats. Yep. In that order, every yep. single time. Mm-hmm. And we didn't move. We'd sit in that seat, and we'd watch every single thing that was to be seen on that field. We were going to watch pregame warm-ups. We were going to watch the band intro. Yes. We were going to watch the game. We were going to watch the halftime show, and every single thing in the middle. And we were going to be there to the end because we paid our money to be there, not to leave early. So that was how we watched. Now, whether it's, you know, our cell phones and how people can share pictures and you know, whether it's through various forms of social media that they're engaged in throughout the contest. But the ability to mingle around and see your friends, you know, that's one of the beautiful things about Protective Stadium. Regents Field is this way. You can be up in the concourse. There's a drink rail at the top of the seating bowl. You can set your drink down, your hot dog down. Put the mustard on. You and I could talk. We could see the game from the concourse, and you can do that at Protective Stadium all the way around. Now, we're not going to be able to do that exactly at Bartow because this is a renovation and not a new build. But some of the things that you see at Protective, like a club, suites, and the ability to engage with one another on a personal level, as friends, connecting at a game and also see the game and combine this social experience with the contest, those are all the things that we're considering and that we want to take a hard look at as we modernize that building. So we're not going to expand the building in terms of number of seats. I would anticipate we'll lose a small number of seats. What is that number today? I can't say. But if we have to remove some seats to enhance part of the building, we're prepared to do that if necessary. But again, we want to modernize the concourse. We want people to walk in and feel like, okay, I am in that special place that shows the history of UAB sports, UAB basketball, Bartow tradition, that kind of thing. So we got a lot of ideas right now that we're swirling around, and the board of trustees passed phase one of the project back in June. So we're on our way. So we're close to looking at, talking to architects and that sort of thing. We've had preliminary discussions, but we're getting close for that too. Okay, so it's exciting.
It's being discussed. You just make sure that that new Tony Curry suite is right next to yours. Cause I want to make sure that I want an adjoining door too, so I can visit with your family during games.
Okay.
I just want to make sure we have that right. By the way, and this is totally unrelated, But I saw, you know, several months ago that they're now going to keep the clock running in college football on first downs. That was always something that I thought was kind of interesting, first of all, because I like playing overs in a lot of college football games. So we always want that clock to be stopping. But it seems like we're always trying to shorten the length of games. We saw that Major League Baseball, I think they've cut off, the last time I've checked, 27 minutes, which is a lot when you're talking about a Major League Baseball game being roughly 3 hours long. You're talking about, what, 20 or 30% of cutting off. And in most cases, you know, basketball games, 2 hours almost to the nose. The NFL tries to get everything within a three-hour window. Do you have any issues with us trying to shorten our games, or do you think it's all good?
Yeah. Well,
you're selling more concessions and stuff. I understand that. But I'm also thinking about the 6, 7, 8, 9,000 hours of tailgating I've been doing before. And then you get in, and it seems like it's over. And it's like, wow. And right. The last time I checked, I didn't know anyone that didn't like having a four-hour baseball game. I realize we got to go to school the next day and things like that. But, I mean, I'm talking about bang for my buck. I want to see as much. I love doubleheaders. I used to think, hell, yeah, I'm going to go to a doubleheader. I'm getting two for the price of one. But some people don't want to sit that long.
Yeah, it's like I said, you know, the NFL, according to television, the NFL ranks number one amongst viewers in our country, and college football is number two. Why would we try to have less of it?
I know, right?
So this is a polarizing discussion, and I was on the wrong side of it, I guess, when it came down to the voting. I don't see the value in eliminating, you know, seven plays out of a standard football game. I think that's not worth doing. When people go, yeah, we need to shorten our game. Why? Why do we need to shorten our game? Well, because television said so.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But we are beholden now to that. Whether it's the money or the exposure or the combination of the two, we are now being managed by television. It's about a television product as much as it is about the game itself. And so we're having to balance those two things. You know, if you want the money and you want the exposure, then you got to follow some of their rules and obey some of their requests too. So I do get that.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, them trying to be bad people and do a bad thing. But I just love college football and I want to watch more of it. I think, some of the coaches that don't like it because it's going to change the way you can come back.
Yeah.
If you're down in the fourth quarter, it's going to make it harder to come back and tie or win that game. So you just have to we'll all have to think differently.
Maybe add a timeout. Because a lot of teams use that first down marker as a timeout. If for anything else, just to get your lined up so you didn't have to
just
waste
to get lined
seconds.
Up. Yeah,
just
right.
to get lined up. So all right, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. He's Mark Ingram, 11:00 AM Central Time every Monday through Friday right here on TKR. You can hear the show. And wherever you get your podcast, we're available in every major industry out there. Check us out. And we greatly appreciate you listening here. And particularly for UAB fans. And if you're not a UAB fan, we hope you are after you listen to the show. One final email here from Tippy in Lakeview. She wants to know, how does the move to the AAC affect UAB's bottom line? It's kind of a loaded question, kind of a big question. Does your budget go up? Does your budget go down? Does your budget have to go up? What happens to UAB's budget? And obviously you're talking about different TV markets. You're talking about different recruiting classes and different recruiting cities you can go to, which I know is exciting, but as far as in your bottom line, how does it affect you?
Yeah. So the television package in the American Conference is better from both a viewing perspective. We'll be on all the ESPN platforms, and that's every contest. You know, if you want to watch softball while you're on your vacation in Europe, you can do that through ESPN Plus at an absolute minimum. So that's going to be a really great addition for all of our teams. As we move forward here, starting this upcoming season in the American, it is financially better. The arrangement that we all have, meaning the six of us joining the American, we have kind of a stair step, revenue share with the American. So it's better this year, but it kind of takes a step up every single year over the next, 8 years. Until we become, you know, full members of the league and get a full revenue share. Now, there's opportunities as they renegotiate their television rights, maybe to discuss that again. But in the moment, yes, it's better. And, and will become dramatically better than what we've had.
When things shake out altogether, do you see like a conference the size of the AAC having its own network? I know when the SEC network started, people were like, that's crazy. I cannot believe we're going to have all SEC football. And obviously we're seeing how well it is. Then the ACC started their own network. And I'm assuming that it's going to trickle down a little bit because you're talking about quite the network and quite the teams in big cities. Is that something that you think could happen?
Well, it's a major undertaking. Yeah. You know, that's not a small venture. It's not just a couple of guys with cameras and throw some stuff up on the network. And the SEC network has been popular, the Big Ten network and so on. They've been popular and they've done well enough. I think initially you think to yourself, oh, look, there's all this content. But, you know, there's certain times of the year you're watching the old 1988, you know, Citrus Bowl. You're watching and I'm not saying it's uninteresting, but I mean, certain times of the year, they get into the dog days too, you know? Yeah. So it's tougher to really provide the type of the volume of content, you know, during the academic year, there's plenty. Yeah. But even still, the network doesn't turn off at midnight or 2 a.m.
You don't want to play the Paul Feinbaum show on the AAC network.
Yeah.
During the middle of the afternoon.
That's not what we have.
Yeah.
That's
right. I understand. No. Hey, Mark, great stuff, man. Greatly appreciate you. Look forward to catching up with you next week. UABSports.com, UABSports.com. You can also follow him at UAB_AD on Twitter. He does respond to people. And, of course, just call his office. He'd be more than happy to answer any questions for you. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We'll do it again next week, my friend. Thank you. And next week, we're doing our top four rock and roll movies. Be ready. You've got plenty of time to get ready for it.
All right. I'll be there.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.